Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Tom.
At some point, we can probably say good afternoon, and it will help us a lot with our planning and everything like that. But good morning, and today's a very special day, isn't it?
It is. Wednesday, the 20th of January. Who would have believed that we would be so focused or so interested in the inauguration of the next president of the United States of America? I think it's always something that has been in the news, but I think this time it has gained a lot more interest around the world and certainly in the UK than I've ever felt before. Almost every night reports. But that's the nature of politics, and it's the nature of leadership. And, you know, our own nation has had its challenges with leadership over many years as well, hasn't it? So we're not here to judge what's gone on, but we are here to say, you know, this has obviously been a pretty difficult time in the States over this last few months, but it is now coming to a head, and today Joe Biden gets inaugurated as the next president of the United States, which is amazing, really, isn't it?
It is. It's been a strange 4 years, and I guess irrespective of what's been happening in America, it's been a very strange 4 years, but I kind of feel that the impact of Donald Trump's presidency has been felt across the world, and it will continue to be felt, whether good or bad. Of course, we can't say that it's all been terrible. There have been some big pluses that have come from it, and I guess the legacy is there, and it's now going to be a job for America, as we keep hearing from Mr. Biden. It's a chance for the wounds to heal and for the country to come together.
And I'm sure that's true of many nations, isn't it? You know, every nation has its challenges, has its divisions, has its frustrations, has its complications. And the job of leadership is to try and navigate a course through that for the benefit of every citizen, isn't it, really? And of course, in this country as well, there's often diverse opinions across the political divide. But, you know, I think one of the challenges that we as Christians face, of course, is that, you know, we're here to support those in leadership. And as the Bible says, to pray for those in leadership. And, you know, who would envy being prime minister or president during the coronavirus pandemic? A totally unforeseen, well, maybe in the background of the thought that one day there might be a pandemic, but certainly the speed that it came in has tested the every single leader around the whole world, I'm guessing. And they've all responded in different ways, haven't they, with different results to that response. But yeah, leadership is a strange thing, and particularly political leadership, isn't it? I've been really interested in politics most of my life. And I got a bit fed up with it over the last few years, but it is always intriguing just to see how leaders with different political persuasions, if you like, different parties, how they endeavour to fulfil, you know, the promises they've made, and also, you know, wholeheartedly believing that they're doing the best they possibly can for the people in the country as well. But very testing times, hasn't it? And the pandemic has raised lots of other issues in the UK over food, free school meals to children. Just this week, the universal credit payment. We've had furlough issues, and many of the people listening to this will have faced some of those issues, won't they? People who have not been working. People have been put on furlough. People who have subsequently been made redundant. Those who are facing challenges in terms of providing food for their children. And so, yeah, we're in the midst of it all, aren't we? We're in the midst of all those decisions, and it does impact each one of us very, very significantly every single day.
And that's kind of what we're wanting to think a bit about today, isn't it? You sort of, when you text me what you thought we should be discussing on the podcast today, you kind of entitled it President's Power and Kingdom. And so I guess it's a case of breaking down each one of those things and thinking about what it can mean for us where we are. And I suppose on the topic of president, I can remember back to 4 years ago, to the days before the inauguration of Donald Trump. And you saw people standing outside places like Trump Tower, holding up big signs. And can you remember what the phrase was that they used to keep saying? It was a three-word phrase.
My silence gives it away.
Well, I remembered this very vividly. They held up the signs saying, "Not my president." They just had big signs, "Not my president." And I suppose that sort of has set the scene for the last 4 years, where there's been more divide, a greater divide across America than I have seen. And that divide is not exclusive to America, of course. Right now, in our country, there is clearly a very big divide, and it is a bigger divide than I have seen. You may have seen greater divides, of course. I am very young, and I think I've only had an interest in politics. And I will say, when I say interest, I'm not actually all that interested. I suppose I'm interested in the outcomes, but I find the whole politics side of it quite draining. And as a side note, I've been asked to ask Tim Farron, the MP, a question, and I must say that I was a bit perplexed to know what to say. But anyway, that's a side note. I think that's going out on a different podcast sometime soon. So I'll let everyone know when that is.
Watching Pointless the other night, and Tim Farron was an answer to one of the questions.
Was
How
he?
About that?
Fantastic!
Isn't that amazing? And I'd almost forgotten about him, sadly. And even though they had the initials up, TF, it took me a little while to remember. But of course, he was a Christian, wasn't he, Tim Farron?
Yes.
And he actually had to, felt he had to step down from his position because of his Christian viewpoint, I think. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, no, absolutely is.
And I think that did, you know, it is this challenge, isn't it, for Christians and politics and how that sort of matches together. And clearly in America, there's a very clear collision of politics and faith, isn't there? You know, it's very obvious there, more so than here. But of course, we do have many Christian MPs across all parties in the UK who are balancing this thought of, I'm a Christian and I'm a politician, holding these various beliefs in some tension. And at times having to toe the party line, you know, the whip. I'm really interested in that. And obviously we've had some experience of...
That's exactly what Tim Farron's, the podcast that he's involved with, is about. I think it's entitled Mucky Business with Tim Farron, in terms of it's using a phrase that he once talked about, I think, as the politics and religion thing, how it's mucky business. It's a very difficult thing. And I suppose then, going back to America, of course, it's really felt like it's Trump is for the Christians and everyone else isn't, or at least that's what we hear over in the UK. But I think, to me, it's become a very difficult position because, I guess, obviously Donald Trump did become the president and there's been fractures going across America, and I suppose they've come up in the most recent weeks, and the scenes from the Capitol, when was it? Last week? Was it last week? I really lose track. 2 weeks ago, I think. It's frightening. It's frightening to see that that's what has become, and it's also frightening, and this is me speaking as a young Christian from the UK, it is very frightening to see people doing these things in Jesus' name. To see people praying on top of the mantles and using, dare I say, using it as a photo opportunity, or at least that's how it seems. But clearly this clash of religion and politics is something that has happened all the way through many, many years. It goes back, obviously, in the UK to... I can talk about the 1600s, Cromwell's era, and the difficulties, but it's still continuing on today. Yeah. And this thing of leave politics to the politicians and leave religion to the religious is something that I've heard. But what comes next? You were saying about presidents. Well, what comes next is power, and we see that all of these people have great power and influence, and the influence that we have is something that's very important. But then we look to people in our country, our politicians and leaders, and the influence that they have is amazing. And I suppose when you said this to me, I suddenly became aware that we actually have an incredibly powerful and influential person who is an amazing advocate for the church. And she goes by the name of Queen Elizabeth II. And her Christmas Day speeches, whether you like them or not, or whether you think that they are just a fun bit of festivity that you go through on Christmas Day or not, they are wonderful. And I think for me as a Christian, I look forward to hearing what she has to say and the encouragement that she gives for each of us to go back to the core of what it means to be a Christian, to stop kind of chasing after these one or two very specific things. And, you know, actually, as we're seeing in America, I think it's probably a call to not go chasing after Trump or Biden. It's a call to chase after Jesus and to follow Jesus and to show love in the way that Jesus wants us to. And I guess it's following the Sermon on the Mount. And you're hoping, this is a sneak preview for everyone listening, I think you're hoping to go through the Sermon on the Mount after Easter this year. And I am very much looking forward to that because I think it is, they are some of the most wonderful things. And they are, they're core Christian values. And I suppose when you come away from it, people talk about moral truth, don't they? And they talk about Christian truths, moral truths, and all sorts of things. But what I think most people can agree on is that the biblical truths that Jesus shared with us are incredibly good truths for us to live by. And they're a really good founding stone for our society. And I think, you know, people like Tim Farron have clearly made a choice that for them, their authority is Jesus and his teaching and the way that we as Christians are called to operate and work in our world. But that creates divisions and problems. And ultimately, like you said, it can cause people to say, that's not for me. Or, you know, as people have said in America, not my president.
And I think someone like Tim Farron clearly, you know, is first and foremost, his faith is what drew him into politics, I'm sure. And to find a way to make a difference in the society that he lived in. And he had a compassion for the people. And felt that, you know, moving into that particular political party was the way that he could influence things. And I think the challenge comes, and it's not just for politicians, I think it's for all of us, in whatever position we find ourselves in, is when those beliefs, those commitments to Jesus get compromised, what do we do? How do we react to that personally? You know, do we carry on and trying to make a difference from the inside, hoping that, you know, through the salt and light of Jesus, absolutely, you know, we can begin to bring flavour and make it a more tasty place to work in, to live in. Or do we have to step away from those places because we cannot, you know, we cannot marry up the two things? And I'm guessing Tim Farron, I don't know the full extent of his story, but he just got to that place where, you know, he had to step away from there as leader of the Liberal Party, Liberal Democrats at that particular time. But it's good to know that he's still, you know, really committed to his faith and his commitment to make a difference. And of course, you know, Christians throughout history have made such an incredible difference outside of politics, you know, just in the everyday, you know, in the classroom as a teacher, you know, in the ward as a doctor or nurse, you know, in the care home as a care worker, you know, throughout history, you know, the individual can make an incredible difference when it comes to establishing ultimately the kingdom of God, which is what we're called to, aren't we? You know, and some people move into big picture stuff, you know, establishing the kingdom at its very foundation. For most of us, it's, you know, that one act at a time, isn't it? You know, that one conversation, that one kindness at a time that actually begins to bring the kingdom in. Of course, Jesus, you know, he came into a very political situation when he was born. You know, it was turmoil, you know, the Romans in occupation, the Jewish people who had suffered much oppression historically, but were in a position of quite, you know, good power there with a relationship with the Romans who wants to keep the peace. And then you've got, you know, those who are on the outside of that really struggling. And so, you know, Jesus moved right into the place where there was incredible challenge and difficulty. And what did he do? You know, what did he do? Did he join the political parties of the time? Did he side with the Romans, hoping to influence from the inside? Did he sidle up to the religious authorities, knowing that he could have a massive influence upon them and maybe begin to change the dynamic within the nation? But No, he didn't, did he? You know, he stood apart from all of that because he came, you know, with a different manifesto, a different agenda, and that was the kingdom of God. And so, you know, he challenged where he needed to challenge. He was silent when he needed to be silent. And then he spoke about and gave a fresh vision of what the kingdom could look like, you know. And it wasn't a place, was it? It was about the rule and reign of God in an individual. The kingdom of God is in you. Luke records in chapter 17, verse 21, Jesus saying, he says, you know, in verse 20, once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. Now, clearly referring to himself, but another footnote on that that verse also says within you. And this sense, you know, that his coming and the gift of the Holy Spirit means that, you know, we get to live as part of the kingdom, and through that we begin to bring the kingdom in as well. So massive challenge, isn't it, to us all, and trying to navigate our way through power and presidents and politics and any other P you can think about. You know, what does that look like for me every day? What does it look like for each of us every day to be, you know, representatives of the kingdom of God? So, yeah, a lot to think about.
Some great things for us to think about there, Tim. And I guess this is just the first part of a potentially longer conversation that we may be able to have in a couple of weeks' time after we have seen the full extent of what's going on in America. And I guess that draws us towards our prayers for today. And as we've done each week with our NBC Connect, we want to pray for our world. And our prayer today is talking about bringing our cities, nations and communities back together. And there's a beautiful passage that we want to read to you before we pray, which comes from Ezekiel chapter 37. We were going to do a bit of an advert for our Ezekiel Bible study at this point, but we'll do it afterwards. We'll do it afterwards. We will pray first, and then we'll share what's going on for the rest of this week after. So this is Ezekiel 37, starting at verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.
Let's pray. Ezekiel's nation Israel was crushed, broken, and destroyed. All that was left of the once great nation was a valley of dry bones. When asked if the bones could live again, Ezekiel said, O Lord, you know. As we survey the pain and death through COVID in our nations today, we realise, Lord, that you are the only answer for the devastation and the strife and unrest. Therefore, even as Ezekiel prophesied to the dry bones of Israel, we choose to speak and pray your life over the pain in our nations. We speak to the death and oppression permeating our cities, nations and communities. In the name of Jesus, we command both to go. We also pray, Lord, for you to destroy the depression and despair gripping the hearts of many of the world's peoples. Please replace it with the hope found in you and your purposes. Thank you for your continued mitigation of COVID-19. We continue to cry out for its eradication.
Heavenly Father, as Ezekiel was prophesying, you promised to resurrect his broken nation by freshly breathing on those dry bones that remained. Our nations are desperate for a fresh infusion of your divine breath. Without the winds of revival and restoration, our nations may never recover. Economies are languishing and millions are grieving for lost loved ones, lost jobs and lost relationships. Lord, we are desperate for the touch that only you can bring. Today, we cry out for a fresh infusion of your spirit. Please send a revival that will heal our nations, setting millions free. Empower us to boldly proclaim the gospel to our lost neighbours and cultures, and fill us with fresh love for the broken humanity that you came to save. For the hour is dark and the need is grave. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
A prayer across our world right now. Breathe into our dry bones. I don't know if that's how you feel at times, Tim, but I think I feel that there are many dry bones in our country and many around the world, and it is good to pray about it.
And it's, I think, very, it just...
it's beautiful. It's beautiful words from the book of Ezekiel. Yeah.
This is the beauty of Scripture, isn't it? Because this isn't a surprise to God, what we're going through, and it's not as if we're the first people who've been through difficulties and calamities. You know, the Bible, you know, time and time again, you know, the people went through incredibly tough times, didn't they? And they cried out to God, and sometimes they were fed up with him and turned away from him. Other times they came close to him. But what I love about the Old Testament, I may have said this last week, is that just the gold, there's a golden thread running through, isn't there, that is about a father who has compassion for his people and hasn't turned his back on them and continues to hold out his hands to them. You know, I just, more and more, as I've read, you know, tried to have the discipline of reading the Bible through in a year for a few years now. I'm trying something different now, but digging into the Old Testament, it's such a reminder, you know, that there's this gold thread all the way through of God's faithfulness and his compassion and his passion to draw people close to him. So there's always hope, which is fantastic. And you know, I know many people, you know, struggling through this pandemic and have been touched by it in many different ways, but you know, we're here not to deny all that. Of course not. It's real. But there is a God who stands in the midst of it. And it's a beautiful thing when we become aware of that as well. So,
and if you want to read more of the Old Testament, how can people do that, Tim?
Well, we started our study on Ezekiel last Wednesday. And so tonight is week two. But the good thing about this study is that it's there's 48 chapters in Ezekiel, so we're not doing it all. But each week there's a particular part of it. So like last week we did chapter 1, tonight is chapter 8. And we actually come to the dry bones in session 5 of 6 that we're going to be doing. So yeah, please hook in. The details of how to join went out in the update. But if you haven't got them, then a quick email to me, to inquiry@newcastlebaptist.org.uk, and we'll send you the Zoom link ready for tonight's study. But it was great, yeah. And I just find I learned so much from the people who are part of the study. I you know, people who've been followers of Jesus longer than me, but it doesn't matter. You know, people who've just started following Jesus have amazing insights into what Scripture is saying because it's fresh. And I'm so glad to be part of the Bible study because I'm learning a lot, and it really is uplifting to me and faith building in my life as well. So yeah, do join us. Don't be shy. It works really well on Zoom, and we have some good conversations together. So check it out, please. Yeah,
fantastic. And we've still got lots of other things. I guess rather than us rattling them all off now, you can go and watch the last 5 minutes of our church service from the weekend, where everything was laid out very quickly and in a concise manner. Thank you so much for joining us today, as always, and we will look forward to coming back again to chat with you next Wednesday, where hopefully we'll be able to reflect back on what has been a peaceful transition of power. We as a church, and certainly while me and Tim, I know, are both praying for a peaceful transition, and I think the whole world would very much like a peaceful transition of power at this time. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of the day, week, and until we see you again, bye-bye.
Goodbye.